Ben and Bradley.
Okay.
Okay, so what's black and brown and looks good on a lawyer? A German Shepherd. What do you call 10,000 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
Good start.
Okay. Yeah, I'm stalling until these...
Oh, sorry, what was the answer to the second joke?
A good start.
A good start. Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Well, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Are you with a firm now, or
yeah,
are you on your own?
No, I've been at this firm for... I just started my 14th year.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Are you going to be with them next month?
We'll see what God does. Okay, good question. I don't know, but I'm not as worried about it as I used to be.
Yeah.
So let's get started. Let me pray first. Lord, thank you for this weekend. Thank you for the men that have served us, that have prepared this place, prepared the food, organized all the infrastructure. Lord, we're so grateful. They know who they are. Lord, I thank you for the men who've invited other men, for their faithfulness, and I thank you for all these guys for being here and listening to what you're doing in my life. So, Lord, I just pray for this next, 35, 40 minutes or less, that you'll be in the middle of us, that you'll open our hearts, even though we're tired and a little sleepy, that we'll grab onto something that you would have us take away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So now kind of the wrap up is what is the process of pleasing God looking like in my life? And I shared with y'all from my journal, looking back, I looked all the way back to when it started in January of 2016 when I started writing in it. And the very first thing I wrote in there was January 7th. I had read something by Ian Thomas, the major, as some of y'all know him, wrote The Saving Life of Christ, a really good, one of those must-read books. He wrote about this idea of being free from the bondage of the opinions of men, and that's the earliest benchmark I could find. And so I've shared with you all the brokenness I've been through, the intimacy God's been using in this process, and this idea of pleasing Him starting probably in the last 6 years, 6.5 years. So I'm developing a habit now. To ask and find out what pleases the Lord in my relationship with Him, my relationship with my wife, with others, with work, and so forth. And I would like to have Sam Tischler read from, y'all read Colossians chapter 1 in your share groups. We're going to narrow down on a portion of that. And there's four principles in this section that I think Paul prays for the Colossians. This is Colossians 1, 3 through 14. And feel free to follow along in your Bibles if you like.
We always pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you is going out to all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and He is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins.
That's 14?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's it. So, thank you, Sam. That's a great passage. And there are four things that come out of that passage that Paul prays for the Colossians about. That they would please God with fruitful living, knowledgeable living, powerful living, and thankful living. So, fruitful, knowledgeable, powerful, and thankful. And you can see those words in that passage. You can pick them up. Now, I want to give credit to a guy that I like to listen to on podcasts. His name is Alistair Begg. He does a ministry called Truth for Life. He is a really orthodox teacher, and he's a Scottish guy. He has a cool little accent. But I actually emailed his ministry and got permission, because I didn't borrow all of his ideas. It's just the way he organized these four principles from Colossians. The rest of this is yours truly's figuring things out. Let's start with fruitful living. Bearing fruit in every good work. Y'all read John 15:5 in your share groups, I think, in what was part of your questions. Anybody remember what John 15:5 says?
I am the vine and you are the branches. Right. If you remain in me, you will be fruitful.
Yeah.
Basically.
So what's the key to being fruitful?
Remaining, abiding
in
Christ.
Did y'all talk about ways to abide or remain? Okay. I've been trying to share that this week, and how it took God a long time to get my attention on this. But you're spending time with Him, figuring out who He is. In my case, learning that He is like a person that I can communicate with. And I do that through His Word, through prayer, sometimes through circumstances or through the Word of one of y'all.
Fellowship.
Sometimes, you know, God has all these ways of communicating if I'm listening. Or, you know, learning to listen. So, so what's kind of the necessary predicate to bear fruit, according to John 15:5?
Connected,
abiding in Him, right? So that's as I seek to please Him more and more, in dependence on Him. I go back to that story of the bummer lamb. You know, my gratitude for what He did for me motivates me to want to have a fruitful life. So in my life, I see God doing some great things. Somebody asked me about my wife being on board with what I'm doing with our ministry, and she is. You know, she's excited about having people over, enjoy our patio, enjoy the swimming pool. I mean, I have a great memory from last summer when all these young people were eating Jell-O shots, and I told them they could sleep at our house if they needed to, by the way, because those Jell-O shots are pretty potent. But having all these young people over, having a little bit some neighbors come over, you know, my wife being on board with this, and I shared with you all earlier, one way, you know, I've helped her feel like she's part of the team is sharing what's going on with the guys in my life. That's a real valuable lesson for me. And so the other thing that's huge is my growing heart for the lost. I have a young lawyer that works for me. His name is Austin. He was a law clerk years ago, and then he called me out of the blue and said he wanted a job. So I'm like, you want to come back and work for me? And he did, and he's been here 2 years. And he comes to our lighthouse lunch that we have in Sugar Land. And this past weekend, he texted me on a Sunday morning from Lafayette, Louisiana, where he'd gone to some big blowout Mardi Gras party, and said, "Hey man, you'll never guess, I'm going to Mass today. To a Catholic church." And that focus group lunch we do has really impacted me. It's not a focus group lunch, but wow, that, you know, that was pretty awesome. You know, this guy little by little is moving, you know, one step closer, it looks like. And there's some other guys. There's a CPA in my building named Ken. He's a very successful CPA. He's come faithfully to our group. I learned the principle of inviting a guy like him to lunch one-on-one a few times to get to know him before I invite him to one of these businessman lunches. So there's a foundation there. I think I learned that from Jay. And Ken's been coming, and he opened up this last time in our group about going that very afternoon to look at his funeral plot with his wife. And he was kind of shooken up by that reality of an end coming. And he said, yeah, I go to a Lutheran church, but my wife and all her buddies have this Bible study, and they sit around talking about people and judging them, and I don't want anything to do with that. And I thought, I've spent some time in a Lutheran church. I can connect with Ken and have a beer. And in fact, we talked about that same church he's at, because I went there years ago. So having a heart for Ken, to be intentional, to put my next follow-up on the calendar with Ken, to keep bringing Austin to these lunches. This is all fruit from the Lord. These other guys, my friend Rick Hill, a guy named Zach Matthew, Billy Hay, a young lawyer named Jude DeBoard, my neighbors Mike and Victor. So just praying for these men, putting it on my calendar to check on them, invite them to do. I mean, I have to eat. If you do the calendar, there's 20 work days in a month. That means there's 20 breakfasts, 20 lunches, and 20 dinners. That's a lot of eating. Okay. Surely I can find time to invite one of these guys for some meals and then see what happens after that. And I guess I can't wait to meet this guy, but I love thinking about Epaphras living in the city of Colossae, being a faithful guy. You know, he got living proof. He got discipleship. And he's mentioned by name here in the chapter that Sam just read. So Epaphras, who was imparting Christ to these guys that he was hanging around with, kind of, I think, is an example back then of what we're doing now. I'm looking forward to meeting Epaphras. Next is knowledgeable living. This is really important to me, and this comes out of the growing intimacy with the Lord, knowing more about Him. You all may remember I shared my little study tool of reading the Bible carefully and underline every word that talks about God's nature or His character. And recently, this concept of steadfast love, I'm reading the English Standard Version, and so every time it shows up in there, I'm underlining it, especially in Psalms. And that's this process of seeking to know Him face to face. One of the Old Testament characters, I think Moses was described this way, that he knew God face to face. I'm like, wow, what an image. What a goal to aspire to, is that I have that feeling emotionally and mentally of knowing God face to face, relating to Him as a person. You know, I used to think that wasn't even possible. I just had this distant thinking of God, but now knowing that I can find Him in the Word, through prayer, through circumstances, is I'm digging even deeper into that. There was a guy in the kind of around the movement named Gail Jackson. Some of you know Gail. I just found out in our break from Tom Sawyer that he passed away in the last year. I'm going to reach out to his family. But I talked to Gail. Gail challenged me at the old lodge a number of years ago that the issue, Andy, is believing God, believing that He's a knowable God, that He wants to be pursued, that I can have an intimate relationship, really believing those things, guys, instead of just talking about it. I want to say, yes, Gail, I get it. God is pleased when I'm seeking to know Him, His personality and His character. He's not a liar. I'm saying to myself, why else would He tell me to pursue Him, to ask in His name, John 15:7, come to Him in desperation. Okay, being in the corner, like I shared with you guys, being in a corner, and then humble myself and make my plea for His help if He didn't mean it, right? Why do a shell game or a Ponzi scheme, so to speak? That's not how I'm learning. That's not how He is. So I interact with Him and treat Him like a person that I can trust. And a lot of this is driven by discipleship, guys. The man who met with me was simply showing me what this looks like by loving me through this relationship. If that makes sense to you guys. It pleases God as I get to know Him better. I'll refer you to Philippians 3, 7 and 11, 7 through 11. Can anybody look that up real quick for me? Sorry, I didn't pass that out in advance. Philippians 3, 7 through 11.
you want me to read it?
Yes, sir.
I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead.
Thank you, Will. Wow. The contrast between knowing Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection versus pursuing all the other opportunities in life. And so it pleases him. Knowing him is heart transforming and life renewing. It has been for me. I feel freshness. You know, I'm excited when I think about spending time with him in the morning and throughout the day. And then being intentional about seeking out people and loving them. The knowledge that pleases God that I've learned is personal knowledge of his character and his personality, and most importantly, his love for me, because he's the shepherd who picked me up when my neck felt like it was broken, when people kicked me and rejected me, even in my own family. But he said, no, you're not on my watch, or you're going to die. I'm going to rescue you, and he did. So as I think about that, it motivates me to want to know this lover of my soul even more deeply. Knowledgeable means not knowledge about, but personal knowledge of. Right? You guys understand the difference. So going deeper with God in my life, I've shared with y'all several times what that's looked like. And it's funny, the things of the world seem to... There's an old song called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. There's a phrase that says, and the things of world will go strangely dim. At least I know he's awake.
There's a water.
Oh, cool. Okay. So I want to give you all a quick example. There's a, in my the line of work that I built up earlier in my career, we'll call it maritime law. There is like the premier insurance company. That if you get on their list as a lawyer, you're set. The name of that company was called Signal Mutual. And they underwrite and insure shipyards all over the U.S. and in the U.K. And I tried for years and years and years. In fact, I had dreams. I wrote in my journal about getting on their list. That's how crazy. A couple years ago, I actually got on their list. And guess what? I didn't care. You know, this is the same guy who would climb through the ceiling into an office space at a firm that did that kind of work because it was so meaningful to me. And now, to borrow from Philippians 3, 7 through 11, it's like filthy rags. I don't give it about as much about it, okay? I'm just like, wow, God. And other things in my life that have been like idols, I see him doing that. Because as I pursue knowledgeable living with him, by intimacy with him, these other things have faded away. Third, powerful living. Because of his Holy Spirit living in me, I have the power to be kind, the power to be patient. You guys know the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is? Yeah, and so I can't tell how many times the last 2.5 years living with my mother-in-law that I've been put to the test on some of these things. God's power to be kind, to hear the... In fact, I would hear her criticizing... It get back to me through the kids. Oh, Mama's talking about you again. Okay? And there are times I got pretty low about that. And then I finally let it go. And I thought, you know what, Trek? Do you ever do that or think that, where you think, you know, gossip about somebody, or, you know, come on, just to learn to let it go and love her, just love her soul. Having awareness of my weakness, to need God's power through the Holy Spirit to be loving and kind when I don't feel like it. We're all going to get home tonight, worn out, you know, because you go up the mountaintop, and then when you come down. I don't know about y'all, but I've had some ugly moments where my wife said, I thought you went off to these retreats to get all happy and then come back and shower it on me. I'm paraphrasing. Years ago, Tom taught me a principle called reentry. Whereas I'm driving home, I'm entering mentally into her world. What has she been doing today? Right? What does she want to do? Maybe we go out to dinner. Maybe we go to a movie, but entering into her world. And I'm not going to come back and dump the truck on her on all this great stuff that happened at the retreat. I'm just going to go love her and enter into her world. I talked about I think I shared with you all the reconciliation story with my brother Alec that began this past Thanksgiving. The power to go seek my brother despite the great tension between us, because we hadn't talked in almost 2 years by the time I sought him out. And the miracle of embracing my brother at the end of that walk around our neighborhood for an hour and just telling each other, despite all the crap, we love you. We love each other. Okay, we value the relationship. In my heart, God gave me the power to give up my right to be right. I didn't want to know the 10 offenses against him or that I had done against him, supposedly, and then as a lawyer, cross-examine him and knock each one of them down. I didn't care about any of that BS. I just wanted a relationship with my brother. And God has given me the power to do that. A heart to serve is another way that God's given me power. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That really has grabbed me in the last couple years. So my mother-in-law is a neat freak and a perfectionist, man, like you wouldn't believe. So I closed the door to my office when I came up here because it's messy. But one way I'm trying to serve her is to pick up after myself, put things away, empty the dishwasher, clean up the kitchen after she fixes us a meal without expecting anything. I've noticed a change in her demeanor toward me. But that's motivated by Christ's love. It seems like a small thing, guys, but it's not. A huge one for me is freedom from self-attacks. I was sharing with the guys in our share group that one way I please God is by taking care of myself. I shared with you all how I let my health go. I was so stressed during all those challenges at work and so forth. But what I'm realizing is, hey, Andy, you are, even though that counselor told me years ago, my self-esteem at that time was the worst he'd ever seen. What God's showing me is like that little lamb that was worth picking up out of the pasture and holding to his heart. I have value. I have worth because of what he says. Okay, not what other people say about me at all. Not what work says about me. Not what my successes or failures in work say about me. Not even what my wife says about me. Not even what I say about me. What matters is what my Heavenly Father says about me. And believing it. Believing it enough to do small things. Like I'm walking pretty much every day now, 30 minutes. I'm eating better. You know, when people want to run me down or blame me for something, you know, I don't necessarily fight back. But like in the case of my brother, I'm not going to just take the blame because I feel so crappy about myself. That it must be me. I'm the one at fault here. No more. So I'm worth taking care of and seeking healthy living and not being a doormat. That's powerful living. And fourth and finally, thankful living. Colossians, I think in verses 12 and 13, and one of my favorite scripture memories, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, Andy, in Christ Jesus. So I call it RPT. Remember, I have those little shortcuts for memorizing things, and I think of RPT a lot. I can thank him, looking back, for all the crushing and the struggles, seeing his plan. And this thankfulness has motivated me in several ways. First, as I've shared with y'all, related to ministry. Not to mention that as I've grown in thankfulness, my quiet time with God has gone even deeper. I'm seeing things in the scriptures now. He's revealing things to me that I hadn't seen before. Another favorite verse of mine, and we're not looking up to save time, is 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, where Paul talks about in the old NIV, where Christ's love compels him to do what he does because Christ died for all. And so having that, you know, when I'm hanging around lost guys, I see them like the bummer lambs. And even though they're holding their neck up high when no one's around, I know they're hanging their head because they're kicked and rejected. And I know the one who can save them. It's not me, but I can spend time with them and eventually maybe introduce them to this guy named Jesus. So the desire to be intentional and creative, coming out of my thankfulness, using our home, being creative about getting time with people, find out what they like to do. I like golf, okay. All right, I'm not real big on it, but if a guy wants to hit golf balls or go to the, recently we've been doing shooting range. Like my lawyer Austin that works for me loves guns. There's a few other lost guys we know, and we had a gun range party. And we all went to this place and shot guns. You know, it was pretty fun for about 10 minutes. I'd rather blasting a target, but that's what, you know, I'm like, hey, God, this was felt so right. Just doing what they like to do instead of it always being about me. Remember the word duty I used earlier? Doing things out of duty, discipling a guy out of duty. This doesn't feel like duty anymore. Like, it doesn't feel like compulsion. You know, I really want to do this. It's the difference between have to and want to, or have to and get to, if that makes sense. And in addition, this attitude of thankfulness, I think I've touched on this already, but it's really driving a cycle of wanting to know him more deeply and continue to spend unhurried time with God. I mean, there have been a few times up here, fellas, I'll be honest with you. I like to go out and sit by myself and just close my eyes and listen to all these incredibly designed creatures out here speaking to us. I mean, think about it. No two are alike. They're all unique, the way these birds and animals are put together. And God's interfacing with God this way, about being out here. Learning to listen to him and wait for him to act. He's honored him. That pleases him when I do that. That actions speak louder than words with the Lord. When I'm waiting for him, when I'm truly waiting for him, that speaks to him volumes. So a couple of thoughts to close with. The trap that I'm learning to avoid constantly, daily, is seeking to please myself or to please men other than pleasing God, because it's easy to fall into that. Second, as a practical application to whatever I'm doing in my life, to find out what pleases God in my relationship with him, in my marriage, in other relationships, and with work. Just to ask before I enter into a situation or start to deal with an issue, God, what's going to please you? And that's where scripture memory and being in the Word is helpful, because that's the ammunition. You know, Galatians 6, that the armor that I walk into that situation with. I mean, how else, everybody knows Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does 12, 2 say?
Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world.
But, so for Andy, the transformation that started a long time ago then allows me to have his mind. So when he says John 15, 7, if you remain in my word, I'm going to mess it up. Help me out, Rick.
You remain in me, and my
word remains in you.
You ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you.
So my will, my heart and mind lining up with his, right? It's like a hand in a glove. It's very smooth. So, but I hope the takeaway is for you guys to double down on your intimacy with him, to accept and to welcome brokenness, and then to ask in every situation, God, what will please you? What's going to please you in this? Right, and then listen and wait, and then obey him. Obedience. So that's my closing remarks. I cut this short on purpose because everybody's tired.
Hey, I just had a 2-hour nap. Keep going, Andy.
Yeah. So, fruitful living, thankful living, powerful living, knowledgeable living. There's four principles, and I ask you guys to go back and read those verses from Colossians and meditate and ponder, you know, those principles that Paul was praying for those guys. Think about the example of Epaphras. You know, I'm sure if there's a Hall of Fame of guys that gave their life to the gospel and to the souls of people, Epaphras is in it. And it's sort of an inspiration to me to keep doing that. So that's it. If you have anybody have any questions, comments?
I actually have one.
Yes, sir.
Your relationship with your brother now, Alec, how is that?
It's good. You know, in fact, he called me last week, asked me for counsel on a very contentious business relationship. And he signed a contract without reading it. And we reviewed what he's learning from this. He's doing some crazy great project for NASA. And so if he sticks it out, that might lead to other cool work for him. But the people, there's a little cabal of these evil women that he's working for who are out to get him. And we kind of laughed about it. But he's seeking me out. We're communicating. And I'm not trying to fix him. I pray for him almost every day for his salvation. Because his health's not great. I'll be 59 in May. He'll be 56. And, you know, there's no telling. Time is short. But thank you, John. Yeah, we're almost back to where we were before. But I'm a lot wiser about it. I'm going to be honest with him if he crosses lines.
I think one of the things with my brother is that, you know, once you talk to them and kind of see what's at their craw, or so to speak, then you kind of figure out, like, okay, why are you feeling this way? And what part did I play in that? And how do we resolve that? And it's been beneficial, personally for me, is just to hear what his perspectives mm-hmm. are. And then I'm like, okay, I understand that, but here's where I was at that particular point in time. And so, I mean, I could not do this without God, you know, leading the way.
You know, he's the great reconciler.
He is.
I mean, that's his heart. And I think of the story of Jacob and Esau. Remember Jacob swindled Esau? And then later on, you guys may recall, when they were going to meet each other, Jacob was terrified. He put like 4,000 of his people in front of him with animals and everything, hoping by the time Esau got to him. But what happened when Esau saw Jacob? Ran to him and embraced him. You know, God put that back together. What happened when Joseph encountered his brother? So with my brother, I didn't try to peel the onion back and figure out what his issue was. I said, whatever your issue was, man, I know you were hurt. And I am sorry for that. And whatever happened with Grandpa, I wasn't going to try to understand him or try to reason with him. But to enter into his world, you know, but the way that happened was God, you know, working on me and changing me, because all I care about is where is he going to spend eternity, not whether I'm right.
Got any notes you can share with those of us that didn't know you were going to start at 1:30?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. In fact, I guess Tom, can I send the outline to Dana to distribute to people who attended? If you guys want it, yeah, yeah, it's. It's the shortest part of the whole deal. And again, Alistair Begg is a good teacher. There's an audio, if you Google Alistair Begg, mm-hmm. Pleasing God, you'll go to this podcast, and he talks about these four things. I just kind of took his...
Is that his book called Pleasing God?
Yeah. I just bought that, too. That's a pretty small little book.
Yeah. Is he the one that did that book on Daniel called Babylon?
Yes. Yes, I think he's a better teacher than he is a writer, but he organized these thoughts that just made sense to me, and I emailed his ministry to make sure it was okay.
Never mind, I'll get it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we got one back
there. Thanks, John. Good question. Anybody else? Anything from the weekend, guys? That I'd love to hear back something that God shared with you, revealed to you. Challenged you on?
I have a lot to tell you on Tuesday, actually.
Okay.
Actually, no, Andy, I'm going to mention it here now, but we need to get lunch.
Okay.
This week.
We'll do that.
That's my comment on your teaching this week. No, it was really good. Thank you.
got a lot out of it, honestly. But we can talk about it some more later. We can see each other, but I got
yeah. Yeah, thank you for the feedback. So I don't want any, you know, like Psalm 115 says, you know, under him only be glory. I don't want any of that. I just want you guys to maybe through what he's doing in my life, maybe something grabs you or inspires you or helps you in your marriage, with yourself, your relationship with God. So, all right, I'll let the time Nazi get back up here.
I want to pray for Andy here.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Father God, we thank you for this man. Thank you that you're converting him, transforming him from a people pleaser to a God pleaser. And he has many relationships with family and work and through his children. We pray that you'll guide and direct those, allow them to build a bridge, to turn conversations over to spiritual things and move people one step closer to knowing Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Chris.
Did you get everybody's release form?
Yeah, I got everybody's release form, but I need everybody's name tag. And also, before we leave, can you make sure you pick up all your trash and dump, you know, put it in the trash can? And if you could, pick up all the portable folding chairs and put them out on the patio. At the request of the caretaker, and that's really all the other things that I have. So if you could help us out doing that, that would be great. And please take drinks and protein.
Does it have to cool off? I think there's a fan.
Yeah.
But I was asleep all day.
Thanks for helping with all this, Sam.
Pleasing God.
I heard you in there sleeping, but I opened the door and I was like, thanks. Next time, you have to put your eyes up.